here to present a selection of readings of historical American documents regarding our nation's history with the immigration of people into the country. We as a people have had a long and sometimes not so appealing struggle with the diverse people that came to our nation to start life as Americans. These few documents are by no means a complete overview of the experience of immigration to the United States of America, but attempt to illustrate some of our views on the topic as we have built our nation into the interdependent web of diverse people that we are today. One of the earliest American policies regarding immigration, passed in 1798, is the Alien Act. This act most significantly authorized the President of the United States to deport aliens from the country. I'd like to invite Iris Chalk up to share with us a reading of the Alien Act of 1798.
Fifth Congress of the United States, Second Session, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, November 30th, 1797. Section 1. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that it shall be lawful for the President of the United States at any time during the continuance of this act to order all such aliens as he shall judge dangerous to the peace and safety of the United States, or should have reasonable grounds to suspect are concerned in any treasonable or secret machinations against the government thereof, to depart out of the territory of the United States, within such time as shall be expressed in such order, which order shall be served on such alien by delivering him a copy thereof, or leaving the same at his usual abode, and return to the office of the Secretary of State, by the marshal or other person to whom the same shall be directed. And in case any alien so ordered to depart shall be found at large within the United States after the time limited in such order for his departure, and not having obtained a license from the President to reside therein, or having obtained such license shall not have conformed thereto, every such alien shall, on conviction thereof, be imprisoned for a term not exceeding 3 years, and shall never after be admitted to become a citizen of the United States. Provided always, and be it further enacted, that if any alien so ordered to depart shall prove to the satisfaction of the President, by evidence to be taken before such person or persons as the President shall direct, who are for that purpose hereby authorized to administer oaths, that no injury or danger to the United States will arise from suffering such alien to reside therein, the President may grant a license to such alien to remain within the United States for such time as he shall judge proper, and at such place as he may designate. And the President may also require of such alien to enter into a bond to the United States in such penal sum as he may direct, with one or more sufficient sureties to the satisfaction of the person authorized by the President to take the same conditioned for the good behavior of such alien during his residence in the United States, and not violating his license, which license the President may revoke whenever he shall think proper. Section 2. And be it further enacted, that it shall be lawful for the President of the United States, whenever he may deem it necessary for the public safety, to order to be removed out of the territory thereof any alien who may or shall be in prison in pursuance of this act, and cause to be arrested and sent out of the United States such of those aliens as shall have been ordered to depart therefrom and shall not have obtained a license as aforesaid, in all cases where, in the opinion of the President, the public safety requires a speedy removal. And if any alien so removed or sent out of the United States by the President shall voluntarily return thereto, unless by the permission of the President of the United States, such an alien on conviction thereof shall be imprisoned so long as, in the opinion of the President, the public safety may require. Section 3. And be it further enacted that every master or commander of any ship or vessel which shall come into any port of the United States after the first day of July next shall immediately on his arrival make report in writing to the collector or other chief officer of the customs of such port of all aliens, if any, on board his vessel, specifying their names, age, the place of nativity, the country from which they shall have come, their nation to which they belong and owe allegiance, their occupation and a description of their persons, as far as he shall be informed thereof. And it shall be the duty of such collector or other officer of the customs forthwith to transmit to the office of the Department of State true copies of all such returns. Section 5. And be it further enacted that it shall be lawful for any alien who may be ordered to be removed from the United States by virtue of this act to take with him such part of his goods, chattels, or other property as he may find convenient, and all property left in the United States by any alien who may be removed as aforesaid shall be and remain subject to his order and disposal, in the same manner as if this act had not been passed.
Thank you, Iris. The Immigration Act of 1917, also known as the Literacy Act, was the most comprehensive legislation regarding immigration to the United States that had been passed until that time. The act provided both a list of persons excluded from entry into the country and required that all immigrants over the age of 16 be able to read before being permitted to immigrate. I'd like to now invite Lisa Cox forward to share an excerpt from the Immigration Act of 1917.
An act to regulate the immigration of aliens to and the residence of aliens in the United States. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that the word alien wherever used in this act shall include any person not a native born or naturalized citizen of the United States. But this definition shall not be held to include Indians of the United States not taxed or citizens of islands under the jurisdiction of the United States. That the following classes of aliens shall be excluded from admission to the United States: all idiots, imbeciles, feeble-minded persons, epileptics, insane persons, persons who have had one or more attacks of insanity at any time previously, persons of constitutional psychopathic inferiority, persons with chronic alcoholism, paupers, professional beggars, vagrants, persons afflicted with tuberculosis in any form, or with a loathsome or dangerous contagious disease, persons not comprehended within any of the foregoing excluded classes who are found to be and are certified by the examining surgeon as being mentally or physically defective, such physical defect being of a nature which may affect the ability of such alien to earn a living, persons who have been convicted of or admit having committed a felony or other crime or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, polygamists, or persons who practice polygamy or believe in or advocate the practice of polygamy, anarchists, or persons who believe in or advocate the overthrow or force of violence of the government of the United States or of all forms of law, or who disbelieve in or are opposed to organized government, or who advocate the assassination of public officials, or who advocate or teach the unlawful destruction of property, persons who are members of or affiliated with any organization entertaining and teaching disbelief in or opposition to organized government, or who advocate or teach the duty, necessity, or propriety of the unlawful assaulting or killing of any officer or officers, either specific individuals or of officers generally of the government of the United States or of any other organized government. Prostitutes, or persons coming into the United States for the purpose of prostitution or for any other immoral purpose. Persons who directly or indirectly procure or attempt to procure or import prostitutes or persons for the purpose of prostitution or for any other immoral purpose. Persons who are supported by or receive in whole or in part the proceeds of prostitution. Persons hereinafter called contract laborers, who have been induced, assisted, encouraged, or solicited to migrate to this country by offers or promises of employment, whether such offers or promises are true or false, or in consequence of agreements oral, written, or printed, expressed or implied, to perform labor in this country of any kind, skilled or unskilled. Persons likely to become a public charge. Persons who have been deported under any of the other provisions of this Act, who may again seek admission within 1 year of the date of such deportation. Persons whose ticket or passage is paid for with the money of another, or who are assisted by others to come, unless it is affirmatively and satisfactorily shown that such persons do not belong to one of the foregoing excluded classes. Persons whose ticket or passage is paid for by any corporation, association, society, municipality, or foreign government, either directly or indirectly. Stowaways, except that any such stowaway, if otherwise admissible, may be admitted in the discretion of the Secretary of Labor. All children under 16 years of age, unaccompanied by or not coming to one or both of their parents, except that any such children may, in the discretion of the Secretary of Labor, be admitted if in his opinion they are not likely to become a public charge and are otherwise eligible. That after 3 months from the passage of this Act, in addition to the aliens who are by law now excluded from admission into the United States, the following persons shall be excluded from admission hereto, to wit. All aliens over 16 years of age, physically capable of reading, who cannot read the English language or some other language or dialect, including Hebrew or Yiddish, that for the purpose of ascertaining whether aliens can read, the immigrant inspector shall be furnished with slips of uniform size prepared under the direction of the Secretary of Labor, each containing not less than 30 nor more than 40 words in ordinary use, printed in plainly legible type in some one of the various languages or dialects of immigrants. Each alien may designate the particular language or dialect in which he desires the examination to be made and shall be required to read the words printed on the slip in such a language or dialect.
Thank you, Lisa. Now that we've heard that list, do we let anybody in here? The final reading this morning is an example of one of many notices posted regarding the relocation of persons of Japanese ancestry at the onset of our entry into the Second World War. Very little time and consideration was given to the people prior to the exclusion and marks the beginning of a period of significant racial discrimination in our nation. I now invite Steve Chalkford to read the Notice to Persons of Japanese Ancestry from 1942.
Headquarters, Western Defense Command and Fourth Army, April 20th, 1942. Pursuant to the provisions of Civilian Exclusion Order, this headquarters, dated April 20, 1942, all persons of Japanese ancestry, both alien and non-alien, will be evacuated from the area by 12 o'clock noon, Tuesday, April 28, 1942. No Japanese person living in the area will be permitted to change residence after 12 o'clock noon, Monday, April 20, 1942, without obtaining special permission from the representative of the Commanding General, Southern California Sector at the Civil Control Station. Such permits will only be granted for the purpose of uniting members of a family or in cases of grave emergency. The Civil Control Station is equipped to assist the Japanese population affected by this evacuation in the following ways. Number one, give advice and instructions on the evacuation. Number two, provide services with respect to the management, leasing, sale, storage, or other disposition of most kinds of property, such as real estate, business and professional equipment, household goods, boats, automobiles, and livestock. Number three, provide temporary residence elsewhere for all Japanese in family groups. Number four, transport persons and a limited amount of clothing and equipment to their new residence. The following instructions must be observed. Number one, a responsible member of each family, preferably the head of the family or the person in whose name most of the property is held, and each individual living alone, will report to the civil control station to receive further instructions. This must be done between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., Tuesday, April 21, 1942, or during the same hours on Wednesday, April 22, 1942. Number two, evacuees must carry with them on departure for the assembly center the following property: bedding and linens, no mattress, for each member of the family, toilet articles for each member of the family, extra clothing for each member of the family, sufficient knives, forks, spoons, plates, bowls, and cups for each member of the family, and essential personal effects for each member of the family. All items carried will be securely packaged, tied, and plainly marked with the name of the owner and numbered in accordance with instructions obtained at the civil control station. The size and number of packages is limited to that which can be carried by the individual or family group. No pets of any kind will be permitted. The United States government, through its agencies, will provide for the storage at the sole risk of the owner of the more substantial household items, such as ice boxes, washing machines, pianos, and other heavy furniture. Cooking utensils and other small items will be accepted for storage if crated, packed, and plainly marked with the name and address of the owner. Only one name and address will be used by a given family. Each family and individual living alone will be furnished transportation to the assembly center or will be authorized to travel by private automobile in a supervised group. All instructions pertaining to the movement will be obtained at the civil control station. Any person subject to this order who fails to comply with any of its provisions or with the provisions of published instructions pertaining hereto, or who is found in the area after 12 o'clock noon of Tuesday, April 28, 1942, will be liable to the criminal penalties provided by Public Law No. 503, 77th Congress, approved March 21, 1942, entitled An Act to Provide a Penalty for Violation of Restrictions or Orders with Respect to Persons Entering, Remaining in, Leaving, or Committing Any Act in Military Areas or Zones. An alien Japanese will be subject to immediate apprehension and internment.
Thank you, Steve. This concludes our survey of historical American documents relating to our nation's history this morning and the struggles with our topic of immigration. Let us remember these words and go forward making our nation and world a better place for ourselves and our neighbors. Please join with me now in singing our closing hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing.